I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. Ooh, this episode.
Shameless Sex.
Ooh, that's good. Is with, can you say their podcast name, that same voice?
Good Moms, Bad Choices.
That was good. I like how you started like a normal, good moms, good bad choices. I want to say poor choices because I have a friend that uses that for every time they make a poor choice.
You do say that a lot, like poor choices, but yeah. It's bad choices.
Good moms, bad choices.
Either works, really.
They're awesome women and they're great moms.
I adore them.
And they like smoking the weed.
They're so fun and very intelligent women.
And they're part of our podcast network.
They're part of the Pleasure Podcast Network. They're a part of our family.
Yeah. Yep. So we talk about all kinds of things from, you know, smoking weed and having kids, dating and being single moms, all the things. They're wonderful humans that like to encourage moms especially, but just everyone and women, but all humans, how to be their most authentic selves.
I encourage you to go to their website and look at their video that is on their homepage on their website. It is so hot, so sexy, and absolutely fantastic. And I feel like it embodies what they put out. Their creative outlet embodies that. Like they're hanging sexy lingerie, smoking weed. Yeah, I just love it. So I'm not going to say anything else about it because I want people to go check it out.
We need a cool video like that. We'll never be as cool as them.
No, we won't
be. Strive to.
They're
we
way
never
cooler
will.
Than us.
Yeah, they're way cooler than us. Whoever said moms aren't cool, they're
wrong.
Yeah. Dog moms now.
Dog moms are very nice.
We're crazy, actually. That's what, we're just batshit crazy. Yeah, dog moms in their mid to late 30s who never had kids. Nuts.
I think I'm in my last year of my 30s, so I'm definitely in the late 30s. You just entered your late 30s, Amy. Congratulations. You're 36 now.
That's true.
You're like trying to, you're like, no, I'm in my mid, nope.
No, I'm mid to late.
Mid to late.
I'm mid too late. You're just late.
Fucking hell, right?
Oh my God.
I'm jumping into 40 like, what?
Hey, here we go. All right.
And
for
testicle monio.
Testicle monio. These are so fun. I just recently started listening to your podcast and I was so inspired by Samaya's interview about sucking dick. Despite having sucked a lot of dicks, I've always struggled with swallowing cum because I'm terrified of throwing up. But this year I got into my first real relationship with a penis owner and I was having trouble explaining why I never wanted to swallow. Listening to Samaya's tips changed everything, especially when she said that swallowing cum was just something you had to try once. So I did, and it was absolutely no problem at all. Since then, I've been guzzling cum from my boyfriend left and right, and I love being able to take it all in. Thanks for being the encouragement a gal needs.
I want to say as well, I have become a cum guzzler, as they say.
Shit.
I wouldn't call myself a cum guzzler. However, I have now swallowed cum multiple times, receiving the encouragement that I needed as well from just wanting to try it once. So thank you for this testimonial. This is badass. And Samaya is such a badass too.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I first read this, I was like, did a guy write this and to try to sell all the ladies on becoming cum guzzlers?
Well, if they did, then that's genius.
And what I will say is when I read this, I also got a little turned on. I was like, oh, that's kind of sexy.
There's something about guzzling cum that doesn't sound sexy to me, but...
Well, not that part, but being able to take it all in.
Yes,
that's like, that gets me. I'm like, oh, that is hot. Add that to your dirty talk box of goodness.
Your dirty talk box.
Yeah, thank you, listener. And I'm not going to doubt you. You are who you are, and I'm pretty sure that you have a vulva. I'm pretty sure I saw that, but I don't really know. Not your vulva, but I saw,
I saw your vulva.
Your name, and that it might be a vulva-owning individual, although I don't know. But at any rate, thank you, and go listen to Samaya's episode. It's Master Mouth Class or Mouth Master Class.
Mouth Master Class.
She's amazing, and we have a video on YouTube with her.
Yes, we do, and her boobs are out in there. Fabulous.
Oh, she's smoking the hookah.
And she's smoking that hookah there.
She's fun.
Are you ready for a sex question, Miss Amy?
Yes, please.
All right. I just met this super rad girl when on vacation in Brazil, and I am starting to think about what I should consider since we both live in the US but in different states. I don't think I want to hold either of us down in a long distance relationship, but I would love to continue talking to this person even if we can't be there physically with each other. What are your thoughts on a long distance open relationship? Do they work? What would be needed to make it work?
Ooh,
we've done an episode on this.
Yeah. Well, the long distance relationship one, that was with, was that with Lola or was that with Aida Mandalay?
Aida Mandalay.
And I'm not I don't know if I'm not saying it right, but yes. And they were awesome. Yes, we have done a whole episode on that. April's looking up right now as we speak. She is our Jamie. I don't know if Jamie still works for Joe Rogan, but he'd be like, Jamie, look it up. And he would have that info like real quick. Like
maybe I need a different month name when it's me looking, when I'm the Googler, the Googling.
You're November.
I'm November. I'm Shameless Sextember.
Oh yeah. Shameless Sextember. Yeah, we have. She will find the episode. So I feel like this is really common. People go abroad, they meet someone, it feels really good. And now they're going back home and there's this idea of like, you know, what do we do now? April, just so you all know, went to India and Sri Lanka, and on a beach in Sri Lanka on her birthday, met her husband that, you know, I mean, they weren't married yet, but met someone that she later moved to, actually not that long later, like a month later, she came back to Pure Pleasure and was like, so I'm moving to Israel to be with this man. I was like, no, you're not. And then she did. And I was like, oh, and then she did. And then I went and visited her on Birthright just to go see her. Not that that's not the only reason why I did Birthright. And they were married for some lovely time. And now they are no longer married, and her ex-husband is a wonderful human. And so that, to me, because very rarely does this happen, actually, where people meet abroad and then something real happens. Oftentimes there's like this magical, woo, it's all because we're in, you know, Brazil or Sri Lanka. And then you go and meet in the real world, or like a Burning Man. People meet a Burning Man.
I met my current partner slash ex-partner slash current partner again slash the situationship at a wedding in the Caribbean
but
on vacation.
He lives in Santa Cruz.
He did, yes. And, made it easier. That's
and you
point.
Already had heard about him through the grapevine, and I had already slept with him. So.
So that was a side note then.
So first of all, I don't want to shatter anyone's dreams. And I just want to say that is to be mindful of that as we get back into the real world outside of vacation mode, that things can be really different, and they could be really different in a beautiful way. And often they're different in like, here's these other sides that I didn't get to see in this space. Do you have the episode?
So it's episode 147, How to Master Long Distance Relationship with Aida Mandalay. And
or,
it could be
Aida
but it's AIDA. So check out episode 147.
She was awesome.
We also touch on
awesome.
A sex question on episode number 69. Uh-huh. Yeah. Which is about squirting and female ejaculation. We answer a sex question also regarding long distance relationships. So that's episode 69 and 147, y'all.
Perfect. So for this, the questions that this person asks, what are your thoughts on a long distance open relationship? Do they work, and what would be needed to make it work? So with what I just said, my thoughts are, you only have a little bit of time, and I deleted this, but I think that they said that they had 3 weeks with this person.
Oh, okay.
And which is a good chunk
of
time, especially if you're like sleeping together every night and spending all the time together, to consider that when you go home, what my suggestion is, don't put hard labels on it yet. Like, we're in a relationship and it's open. But still maybe continue like a courting dating phase from afar, where you're still spending time getting to know each other, but from these different worlds now that you're at home and you're working or whatever it is that you do in your everyday life. This is just my idea, is because you don't really know what will be yet. So if you already decide we're going to be in a relationship, but it's going to be long distance and open. And then you get home and then you're like, wait, now you might have to break up, you know? So like still maybe keep it open to dating, but from afar. How do you do that? There's FaceTime video, the ways to like to connect, you know,
sex
Zoom,
toys with apps,
sex toys with Bluetooth technology.
Satisfyer makes some great ones.
And you can really continue just that getting to know each other from afar. You can go around your hometown and give tours with your phone and show like, what, this is my everyday life, or this is my town.
This,
or
this is my friend Amy.
These are my friends. Yeah, exactly. Totally. This is my dog. This is my house. This is how messy I am. Be honest too. Like invite
this
honesty.
This is how OCD I am.
Yeah, this is how clean I am. I'm April. My house feels dirty and everyone else walks in like your house is the cleanest house you've ever seen. So that's my advice for that piece. Do they work? Yes, they totally can. You're saying open relationships. So also as you're in this dating courting phase, maybe people can still go and date other people. Talk about it though. That's my other tip, is like, unless you're into don't ask, don't tell, but I would say long distance relationships, I think that's another thing that Ida or Ada says, is that communication is a huge part of it. It almost requires a lot more.
And there were a lot of great tips about how to keep it spicy in a long distance relationship on that episode, which we don't need to go into, but there were things like sending them a massage or sending them a care package.
Or like a sweater that has your scent on it.
Yeah,
or like that.
Which I loved. Or watching movies together where you time at the same time and you watch the same movie and you're kind of laughing and crying and eating popcorn together, but not in the same physical space. I think all of those things, there's a lot of wonderful tools out there, and we're in this digital age, so it's way easier to have a long distance relationship than when you were pre-World War II and had to write letters to each other.
And it took like a year for it to get there.
Yeah, and you're like,
and it might get lost in the mail. And
AKA the notebook,
mad.
Okay? Yeah. Watch that movie together. It'll make you cry.
Letters? Well, and the other thing about do long distance open relationships work? I think they totally can, but often there's a solid foundation. It's not like a 2 to 3 week foundation and now we're in this open relationship. We're totally cool being committed to each other, but like semi-committed while we're dating other people. Maybe that's the case, though. That's possible. Everyone's different. Some people have a lot of capacity. I would say it would work if you're both on the same page and you have that capacity. But often there's already some sort of solid something, but not always.
Well, the odds of being successful in an open, long-distance relationship can be in your favor if the communication is there, if the foundation is built, and it just depends on the humans involved in it. I know I don't have the capacity for that. That's why I did move to Israel. I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I need to be physically with my person.
These are a couple states apart.
Yeah. So you could make trips regularly or to each other's places of where they reside.
And if you want to learn more about non-monogamy, we just did an episode with Dr. Jana on that. We have, if you look up non-monogamy on our website, we have multiple episodes on that, on how to navigate non-monogamy. Yeah. And Dr. Jana has a whole course on it.
You could also listen to a sexy erotica app together.
Ooh, yeah, from afar. Oh my God. And then you could do all kinds of
like Dipsy,
sexy phone sex and Skype sex and Zoom sex and FaceTime sex.
Get all of it.
Sex. Baiting.
XXX.
Baiting in the corner.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so good luck to you. Oh, by the way, the person that wrote this, I actually have met over the interwebs before.
Oh.
And just want to say, hello. Thanks for writing in. You're awesome. And I love the work that you
noise.
Do. Yes. Noise. April said that's her frat boy. Noise to you.
Noise.
All right. Anyway, so before we read a bio, we're going to talk to you about one of, like April said, oh, that's why you're saying that. Oh my God. I did not catch that. Okay.
She's smart and she's pretty, y'all. I'm telling you.
Shit. All right. So she was saying you all could listen to an erotic app together and that might be Dipsy. Sorry.
I love you so much.
Me slow today. Okay. So anyways, so Dipsy, what is it? It's an erotic audio app that's designed by women for women. Although I think people of all genders, orientations, bits can listen to this. So it's on your phone and you listen to this app and it has different stories every week and they are sexy, erotic short stories, everything from fucking your yoga teacher to that dream threesome that you had. They're really, really, really hot.
And it's an app, so you can take it wherever you are with whoever you are. My favorite piece is, yes, the erotica. I love their wellness sessions, and I cannot, everybody that listens to the show knows, I cannot fall asleep without either a bedtime story or some background soundscapes, and Dipsy has the perfect amount of options to help me relax and drift off to sleep. And for listeners of Shameless Sex, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/shameless. dipseastories.com/shameless. I love, love, love it. Are you ready for a bio?
Yeah.
If Oprah and Howard Stern had a baby, it would be Good Moms, Bad Choices. Meet Erica and Mila, two uncensored and outspoken sex and cannabis positive parents who are redefining what modern motherhood looks like and breaking life's archaic stereotypes. Warning, this is not your everyday mommy podcast. In fact, this audio diary is not only for parents, but women who feel alone in their good and bad choices. From guests like social activist Sean King to porn star parents, every week, Good Moms delivers personal perspectives and voices that inspire and empower. Erica and Mila's sometimes bad choices keep this weekly podcast as entertaining and unpredictable as life itself. To learn more, visit goodmomsbadchoices.com or listen on your favorite podcast app.
But first, Are you someone who deals with stress, aches, or pain on a daily basis? Do you have trouble falling or staying asleep at night? Well, then it's time to try Sunset Lake CBD, a farmer-owned company specializing in the perfect products to help you manage your sleep, stress, aches, and pains, all sustainably made and shipped directly from their farm to your door.
I'm personally a huge fan of Sunset Lake's mint CBD tincture with melatonin for my sleep issues. They use full-spectrum CBD packed with powerful cannabinoids for a dreamy night of shut-eye. Plus, they have pre-rolls, delicious edibles, including gummies and yummy chocolate fudge, dark roast coffee infused with CBD, and I'm obsessed with the CBD and Arnica salve for my body's aches and pains. And guess what, y'all? Right now, Sunset Lake CBD is offering our listeners 20% off your entire order when you go to sunsetlakecbd.com and enter code SHAMELESS at checkout. Just visit sunsetlakecbd.com and enter SHAMELESS at checkout to get 20% off the entire store. That link is in our episode description. Sunset Lake CBD, farmer owned, Vermont grown. All right, it's interview time.
Guess what, everyone? We started this podcast speaking about the last time we did deep anal fisting. And I was like, we should be recording right now. But then all of us were like, wait, have any of us ever been fisted? But someone said,
not anally.
No, but where you have been fisted before.
Only in the vaginal canal.
The vagin.
And by a small fisted human that was a vulva owner. When I was 20.
What did you think of it?
I didn't know that it was fun.
You didn't know there was a fist in there?
I missed a dick. I missed the dick, though.
No, you missed the dick. A fist is, it's a pretty good size.
I was going to say,
we actually did a podcast.
The visual of a small fisted human.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, a little person?
Okay. Yeah. What are we talking about here? Yeah. I know. Everyone's like, oh, I want to. So this episode is not about vaginal or anal fisting. We were just talking about that before. We like to just have a little fun, spicy conversations. We are here with Erica and Mila. I said that correctly. Yay. I did it. From Good Moms, Bad Choices. Good Moms, Bad Choices, a podcast that's in our network and really awesome podcast. And we're super excited to have you two here. This video may or may not be on YouTube, so y'all can go check it out if you want to see their beautiful faces. But go check out their website because they have a really hot video there of them smoking weed and hanging out with their lingerie. And so welcome Mila and Erica to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, ladies.
What's up, ladies?
Hi. Yeah, we're super happy to have you here. And so we are going to have just a fun, playful conversation all about sex and all the things. But let's start with just a little bit about your story. Tell our listeners about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality and starting a podcast and being moms who like to smoke weed and have a lot of hot sex. Like how did you get here?
Good question. I started when I was 12 years old and I smoked weed for the first time.
There you go.
Then I had sex. No. I think me and Mila started this podcast. I don't want to say it was an accident because I did ask her to start a podcast with me, but we had no idea like kind of the journey that we were about to embark on. And I think, you know, we both became moms around the same time. Both of our kids are 6 years old. And, I had my baby. I like didn't have any friends that had kids and I was going through postpartum depression. I didn't really know that at the time. But one of our friends had posted a picture of Mila on Instagram. I saw that she had a kid. I was pissed. I was like, what the fuck, bitch? You know, I'm like alone in motherhood. You have a friend with a kid. You've been hiding her. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God. Well, like we're actually going to go out tonight. You can come meet us. We're going to this bar. And I was like, say less. So I dropped my like 4-month baby off to my mom. It's like the first time I went out, went to the bar, maybe like had a drink. And then literally I was really there to just find Jamila because I didn't have a lot of time because I was breastfeeding at the time and also being judged by my mom for dropping my baby off to go to a bar. Went to the bar, found her, said we need to set up a play date. We set up the play date. She was kind of like, I guess, also kind of looking for some mom friends. And we had the play date. We hung out a few times. At that time, I started kind of listening to podcasts, mostly murder mystery podcasts. And I started searching podcasts about like, actually it was just about, Wait, okay. I skipped a whole section. At some point, I broke up with my ex and became a single parent. And I started, you know, kind of going on dates, going on Tinder dates. I met a married couple. I told Jamila that, like, I had started seeing this married couple, and she was like, what? She didn't really know that I was, like, you know, with the shits. Because all of our hangouts had been, like, kind of surface and, like, just with our kids and shit. And we were just kind of both pretending that we were, like, okay. You know, like, I'm so happy. But at some point I broke up with him, and I told her that I was dating a married couple, and that also maybe she wanted to start a podcast, because I looked him up and there was none about single parenting. There was none really about single Black motherhood. Everyone was very married and just, or very white. And I just felt like there was, I had nothing there that I could relate to. And she was like, all right, well, fuck it.
I was like,
let's do it.
First of all, I was like, what's a podcast? Is it like a radio show? She was like, yeah. And then I told her, I was like, well, it just depends. Are you going to tell the story about your couple, you know? And, I'm very honest. I don't really know any other way to be. And she said, I can't lose my job. So yeah. And so I think we kind of made this like unconscious decision to be free in who we were and publicly. And I mean, at that time it didn't seem like this big, decision or rebellion towards the system, but I guess we didn't really expect many. I guess we weren't really thinking about the bigger picture, how many people could find us, how many people would be listening. I think we were both in need of something at that time, and I was like, sure. Like I had broken with my daughter's father a little bit before her, and just kind of open to having new friends and trying something different. And at that time I was like, sure thing. I'll sign up for whatever you ask me to, because I need friends. And then we started, and it's kind of been a journey since then. And now it seems like this huge rebellion, because I guess it's not traditional for, you know, for women or moms to talk about sex so explicitly and publicly, because of course we only have sex behind closed doors in secret. Don't be proud of it. Don't talk about it. But I think
you only have kids 'cause you had sex, but you know, whatever.
Well, also, it's funny that you mentioned like all the mom podcasts out there. I think Erica said are like, oh, I'm so happy and I'm a mom. And it's like, no, the real story is a lot of moms that I know are like, fuck, this is so hard. Yeah. I've thought about like strangling my child. Is that normal? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a mom, but I would imagine I would fucking feel the same way. Hence the reason y'all love cannabis as well. And you throw cannabis. I'm sure that helps mellow out sometimes the craziness of having young children or a child, because I mean, I know what cannabis does to me. I mean, I can't, into couch, you know, is a thing. And I'm like, I can't get up. So how did cannabis come in and being like open about being moms and in the cannabis world and loving that? Cause you have a joint hanging out of your mouth in your video that I love. And like you had the gloves on, the kitchen gloves with like the joint. I was like, oh, I love them. Yeah.
Right. Well, I've been, okay, so both me and Mila grew up in LA, so I will say that, you know, I think living here has made cannabis a lot less scary for us. Obviously, it hasn't always been legal. Like, yes, I've had to hide my smoking, you know, as a, you know, teenager or young adult, but I've always been pretty open about my cannabis use, you know, much to my mother's, you know, she didn't love that part. But I think when we had kids, that's, you know, where for me, even when I was pregnant, my journey in this space is that like, I was almost that mom that basically like was going to be by the book and probably just like never, like I literally felt like I was like a little bit wild before I had my daughter. And then I got pregnant and I got totally scared. And I was like, oh my God, I have to be this way. There's no more smoking. I'm not going to be partying with my friends. Like it's time to just like get my life together and get my shit together. Right. Like I have a kid. But so during my pregnancy, I did not, you know, smoke at all. And I was actually, after I had her, I kind of wondered if I'd ever like smoke again, because I was like, do moms smoke weed? Mm-hmm. But then I realized that we have to smoke weed. Yeah. Like I am not a good person if I don't smoke weed. Honestly, cannabis has made me a better person overall, a better parent. I can play with Barbies for like 45 minutes straight. I, you know, also there's a ritual in cannabis that I love too, aside from it, you know, being a great stress reliever. I just love the act of rolling a joint. I love the way it's the smoke comes out of my mouth, you know, like it's beautiful to me. And I knew that, like, actually when I met Jamila, she really kind of really helped me understand how I would talk about cannabis with my daughter, which when we talk about cannabis, which we don't hide the fact that we smoke from our kids, we really talk about it as a flower because that's what it is.
I've always been a little wild. I felt like there was aspects of me that had to change when I became a mom because that's what the world teaches you. However, weed was never one of them. I really didn't think about that. I smoked cannabis during my pregnancy. I smoked while I breastfed. I still smoke. My daughter knows I smoke. When I had my daughter's father and I were on the same page with that. He supported me in that. So I really didn't question it. And, it felt comfortable and instinctual for me. And before I even ever got pregnant, I met a family and they were super Rasta, but I remember he got in the car one day with all his young children and he was like, look at the flower daddy grew. And they all passed it around and smelled it. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. I was like, duh, that makes so much more sense. And I was probably like 20 when I saw that, but it stuck with me. And so I carried that into my pregnancy and people talk shit, of course, you know, but I had made the decision and I was okay with that decision and felt comfortable with it innately. And so I kind of led with that. And when I met Erica, she wasn't really smoking in front of Irie. I mean, they were also like three, but I think I indoctrined her into my sentiments on cannabis and having kids and being a mom. And I feel like sometimes if you just kind of like stand your ground and people kind of leave you alone because I'm the mother.
What? So, okay. So how do you talk to your kids about this then? So you have 6-year-olds, you're outspoken with us. This is the flower that I smoke. And then my other question would be also about sex too. Do you, like, what are those conversations like with your young people?
I mean, we don't talk about sex because they're six, but, we definitely talk about our body parts. We definitely talk about your vagina. Hey, has anyone touched your vagina lately? No, actually. Okay. How was your day at school? What'd you eat for lunch? You know, just being comfortable and identifying our body parts. And, you know, just honest about shit that is you're going to discover as you get older, as you're five or as you're six, as you're seven, you might discover that your vagina feels good, you know, and that's perfectly normal. You're discovering your body and how it feels, just like how you're discovering if something hurts your feelings or if you're getting angry or frustrated. There's no like there's if we just kind of parent in a way that's honest and with age appropriateness. And I think that's where it differs a lot from our parents. It wasn't anything we talked about. Masturbation wasn't anything we talked about. It definitely wasn't like normalized. And so as things come up, we're going to deal with them in an honest manner that's like age appropriate. And we're not encouraging our kids to have sex and we're not talking to them about our sex lives per se, but you know, it's just about normalizing, taking a mirror to your vagina. This is your labia. This is your clitoris. This is, you know, this is what we got. And we shouldn't wait till we're 20 or 25 or 30 to identify what those feelings feels like, that it's for pleasure or what they are, you know,
calling it your no-no. When people call it your no-no, I'm like, why? It should be called a yes.
No, I've never heard that.
They're like, that's your no-no.
What?
Oh my
fuck?
God. I think I'm sorry, mom. I'm going to call you out, but
sorry,
I was like,
mom.
That's your no-no. And
no.
I started masturbating when I was five, not because I knew what was happening, obviously, but I definitely was like, that feels good to touch my no-no. I'm going to give that a yes. Yes.
Right.
And and that's something that I've taken away with my friends that have children that have talked about their body parts, right? Instead of being like, oh, we don't talk about it. It doesn't exist. Or I remember taking a bath with my brother and poking at his, you know, his peen. I call it a peen. When I was like five and like, what's that? My mom's like, all right, maybe I shouldn't take a bath together anymore. But I was like, wow, it's getting hard.
When you tell things to you and it would make more sense.
It wasn't sexual though. I was curious because I didn't have one of those. So to me it was like, so I love when parents do incorporate, and there is research behind talking to your children about their bits and what their parts are and what they can do, not necessarily about sex at all. When they're six, they're like, what are you talking about? But like being like, that's your zone that could give you pleasure. And that's maybe where babies come out of, maybe if you want that. So I respect that. That's cool.
My daughter always calls her vagina. Like, and I get really like, it's weird. I get like very excited when she says that because I feel like, yes, like I'm like, the work is showing up, like, you know, like she's like, I'm changing, I'm breaking generational curses. Like, I'm witnessing it right here because she doesn't have any shame in calling it that. There's absolutely no shame. That's just what it's called. And that's what she knows it's called. You know, like I'm sure if she's at school and someone's, I mean, maybe she's, I don't know, but I just know that wherever she goes and if she has an issue or she has something, if she has something to address with her body, she knows the correct terms of what they're called. Breasts, vagina, clitoris, labia, all of them. Like, I've definitely held a mirror a few times up to my daughter already. And she was just like, what are we doing? And I was like, this is what we're doing. And she didn't, I mean, and she was cool about it. And even yesterday she asked me something about her vagina. So I'm just excited. I'm just happy that I'm creating healthy conversations already at six, because that's what I think parents need to understand, is that it's not one conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. It's a forever conversation. At least I hope it is. Like, I hope that my daughter will always feel comfortable with me to share those parts of herself and talking to me and asking me questions about sexuality and sex.
Sounds like y'all should be called great moms, yeah. Bad choices, not good moms, because it sounds like y'all have it dialed in. And I don't know about all the bad choices, quote unquote, but it sounds like smoking cannabis is a good choice for
good
anyone.
Fucking choice.
It's better. It beats the hell out of alcohol. I mean, you don't really see a lot of bar brawls when there's a bunch of people smoking weed, right? They're like,
most of my bad choices. Most of my actual bad choices have happened with alcohol. Like, yeah. No bad choices with weed.
True. Very true.
Yeah. So question about, okay, so I don't know your relationship status, and I know that it says like
single as
know,
fuck.
Single. All right. And Jamila?
Same.
We should all go out when we're
single
down in LA.
As fuck.
How is that navigating? So you have a podcast that has some sex involved in it. We get asked this question all the time. I don't want to turn the tables, but I want to know what your experience is. So having your kids in your life and a piece of the podcast, and then navigating your dating life through podcasting and these experiences. Can you talk like about more about that?
Do you mean like dating and having a sex podcast? Is that what you mean?
And being single moms. Cause those are like three very layered things that are interesting to talk about.
I mean, I think when you podcast so often, you guys know, like it's hard to not date someone and tell them that's what you do. It's such a big, like it consumes so much of your life. So, I mean, I've definitely had opinions, I try to avoid telling people for like at least a little while, because I want you to like make your own decision about me before you hear all my business, even though I told all my business on the internet. I think we both have realized that it's going to continue to be an obstacle, because it's not something that people are used to, especially for women. You know, men are so privileged. So I think that you have to really get a special man to.
And also men don't talk. I mean, they do, but like they do now, I guess there's men with pod. There's not a lot of male sex podcasts. You know what I mean? Like even in that space, there are a few, like shout out to Harder Soft podcast. But for me, it's a curse.
Relax.
Not a curse per se, but like I've really considered if podcasting is like going to like inhibit me from finding my husband. But
you're so outspoken people have a problem with it, or
no, there's no awe. It's actually like this is a conscious choice that I make and I take, and I love what I do. And that's just, it is what it is. And like, whoever's going to be right for me is going to accept that. But I do find that either sometimes when I date, men ask me, are you going to talk about this on the podcast?
Totally.
I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're not even important. Okay. And maybe I will now. This was a terrible date. Can't wait to tell everyone.
I'm going to give them your social security number. Be careful.
Okay. Or bad.
There's been a learning curve too. I have overshared on the podcast and like had to learn like people's boundaries and like, you know, what's not my fucking business to share. I think that, I like Mila said, I usually try to wait too before I tell people that I have a podcast, but it is such a huge part of my life. And it's something I'm really proud of, that I inevitably share. I think it's important for people to get their own perception of you first, because going on and
Although, I don't know. When you read, that's who I am, though. Like, you go to the podcast, it's who the fuck I am.
You're going to hate it or you're going to love it. So you should choose.
It's a good screening process. Yeah.
And then as far as the navigating with kids and dating, I mean, you know, some people want to date moms. Some people don't want to date moms, you know, and I think I've encountered that. And I don't know. I've had like one boyfriend since my longest relationship. She's met a few people that I've dated, as friends and stuff. I don't know. I feel like I'm so not an expert in this dating space at all. Like I'm figuring it out as I go along. I'm at this moment right now. I feel like I'm in a place of like in very much intentionally dating people. I've been like a hoe, and then I've been like, you know, celibate, mm-hmm. abstaining from sex. And right now I'm dating with intention. And so,
are you guys both single too?
I'm not.
It's complicated. April's with my situation. It's like
situationship. Yeah.
That's what I call it. He gets very upset when I say that.
Oh, the situationship.
The situationship. Ooh. So it's, yeah. And he has kids, 3 kids. And it has been complicated before just because his daughter, his youngest, is in high school and having a sex podcast. When we started dating, she was 11 and her mom came into the room and she was listening to my podcast on
blowjobs,
how to suck dick like a champ. Yeah. It was called that. Yeah. And the mom came in and she like closed it. And she's like, what are you doing? And she's like, nothing. I was like, oh my God. And whoops. So and then her dad goes, well, at least she's trying to get resourced and learn and not going out there and looking at porn. I was like, nice. I like
wait,
that.
Wait, wait, wait. Her mom was listening to your podcast or she?
No. The daughter.
Oh. Yeah, the daughter was, yeah. And the mom came in while she was on the computer. And so, yeah. So it's been interesting for me. And I've also made mistakes and overshared, not about myself, because I feel like that's me. I can do that. But about other people or him sometimes. And he's been really supportive, but I'm a little bit terrified to be in the dating world. I come from the sex toy industry, as Amy does as well. So when you throw a sex podcast on top of a bunch of sex toys and lube, what do you get? I don't know if that math equation can be solved. That's someone really cool. Yeah, it is.
Okay. Time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product, so I just leave it out on my nightstand totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code shamelesssex for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are 2 seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
Well, not everyone's going to be looking for that or prepared for that. And I think some people are private people, which are probably not the people we should be dating. And we, on our podcast, at least, we don't use people's names. We say, sometimes we say my partner, but we wouldn't say our partner's names. Or we say, I have an ex who, but we never use their names before. If people know our partners, they know who we're talking about. So I guess it's not that private in that case. And for me, I actually met my partner through...
He was a fanboy.
Really?
And I'd already listened to a lot of episodes.
What?
Yeah, listening to our podcast to try to... Yeah, he's a fanboy, a fan man, I should say. He's, you know,
a fanboy age, yeah.
And he also has three kids. And he was listening to the podcast to try to help his 20-year relationship that was not going so hot. And so he was actually trying to get some tips to, you know, bring home. And, well... that didn't work. And so I
brought you home.
Yeah, I brought me home. So then I met him after the separation in a yoga studio, and he was like, shameless sex. And I was like, is it the hair? And he's like, no, it's the voice. I listen to your podcast. And we didn't hit it off right then. It was like a month later that he sent me, he slid into my Facebook DMs and was like, hey, and he has this profile pictures of like three kids. I was like, who the fuck is this person? And I was like looking at his profile, and there's a woman in there, and kids are like, he's either in an open marriage or he's recently separated.
Or he's like, real dumb. We're going to figure it out.
And then he starts flirting and saying things like, your sultry voice in the podcast. And I was like, oh, you're hitting on me right now. He's like, oh, is it that bad? I was like, no, it's cool. And then we went on a date and all the things. Anyways, so here's one of the things, the bonuses. He already knew all the things I was into, and he already knew I was weird as fuck. And so that was awesome, because I was like, it's already all out there. I have really nothing to hide. And you actually kind of know about my daddy issues.
Yeah, one of my partner's coworkers said the other day, I've never met April, but I know she loves anal. And he was like,
awkward.
Yeah,
at least you know that about anal April. So yes, I don't know. I find it kind of a blessing, but I'm sure there's plenty of people who would not be down to date me or any of us podcasters that are out there. And I have found...
Well, fuck those people, okay?
Yeah, fuck you guys.
I've had a traumatizing experience with a man, with a fan man. So I've just like,
a stalker?
What happened?
No, not a stalker. Just a fucking, I got like catfished essentially.
He actually did have a family and a wife, and didn't think that she would Google him, and she didn't, but somebody else did. And and lo and behold, he had like a full blown wife and child, and had like hung out with us, like drove to a different city, lied
to come meet
like, yeah,
me.
My baby mama like left me. I'm a single dad now, because he
said he was a single dad. Like, he said he was. I was on FaceTime with his son. It was just a lot. So that's why when I hear a success story, it makes me happy. It makes me okay. Maybe yeah. I don't have to be so terrified to like date someone who has listened to the podcast. Or at least give them a chance.
You did their research.
Great.
That's kind of...
Do you, I know. Because yeah. I felt like doing the research was like manipulative. Yeah. I was like, oh no, now he knows how to tap into me.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, the cues for mind control. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe that's actually what's happening.
How long have you guys been dating?
We've been dating for almost 2 years. And granted, it has its own ups and downs. You know, he has also has three kids and was in a long-term relationship for like half of his life. So we have our own couples therapist, everyone. It's not all sunshine and rainbows all the time. But he's a really, really wonderful person. He's a really like amazing stand-up person. And if he is doing mind control, it's working, and you know, the sex is great. So yeah, it's fabulous. But yeah, one thing I will say too, though, is like the filtering around kids. Like April was saying on the podcast, you all talk about your kids on the podcast, and you're open.
Or mothering more. Mothering. You talk about your mothering experiences.
You don't like talk about like your kids' personal lives. You keep that. I mean, your kids are six, so they're not going to like hear that until maybe in like 10 years. Like, mom,
but their parents might, when you're dropping off at school, like, hey.
Yeah.
I heard that.
I ran into a mom at school, and they like said something to me, and I was like, shh, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone I have that podcast. Cause it is like now we're getting into that age where I'm realizing like the internet is so fucking accessible, and soon they'll be able to read and type and shit. And like, oh no, but we don't really talk about them per se. It's our experience mothering them. But as we like continue, I'm realizing like we do have to be really mindful of what we say, because I would hate like 5 years from now she's in fucking therapy because my mom talked about me, you know, whatever, on the podcast when I was six. So I'm just
it's so funny that you said this, because I literally had this thought today. I literally was driving and I was like, huh, my daughter's at the age where like
I probably need to really need to start practicing a lot more consent, even in my workspace with her. Like, there's like even like picture. I'll ask her if I can post a picture of her on Instagram because she really fully knows what the fuck it is. Like, she knows like how to, like, she's good at technology. But I think, yeah, I think we are, Mila, at an age too now where it's like, where they're at an age where we, it's like, we don't really talk about them like that much on the podcast anyway, but something that I have to be more, I need to be aware of, I guess I would say. I think that's in any like public space, especially when you're dealing with kids, because yeah, I don't want my daughter to go back and, you know, look back at me in 2019 talking about, you know, too many details of, you know, her personal life, but sharing certain things I know is really more about our mothering than the details of our kids' lives.
Well, part of your whole process is, I think, from what I receive from your podcast, is empowering not only single moms, but moms that feel like maybe, or even people that aren't moms, right? But empowering them to live authentically and maybe hide from the shame is what I get from it. If you love smoking weed or you're, you know, maybe you had some weird dating experiences
dated a couple.
You have over 180 episodes to listen to. So there's various topics that cover a bunch of different things. So my next question is, which thank you for the work you're doing. I think it's really important. And I think hopefully when your children get to the age where they are able to listen to podcasts, they can be proud of both of you. And that's what I take it back and take away from is what I'm doing. It's hard sometimes and it can be considered taboo and what Amy and I are doing together, but I can hold my head up high and be like, I feel like I am helping people. And that's really what we want to do. We want to change the traditions, the conditioning of the normal moms or the normal single moms or the dating world and not being able to date people in the sex toy industry, adult facet, where smoking weed in front of your kids is bad because it's a drug, but come on, it's not. It's medicinal. So my next question is, how, if you have any tips for how to encourage moms, especially to be their most authentic selves, like what would you say to those people out there?
I mean, you guys, you have to really stop listening to other people's opinion about what you already know and what you do. You know, you're the mama bear now, so fuck all the extra opinions. And that comes from your mother-in-law, your own mom. Like, sometimes you got to double down on what is you and really pick through the shame and the judgment and people's expectation of you to figure out what that is. And if you don't, you'll just be a lot of opinions, and everybody knows everybody has those. So it's just, I think, just really listening to your own voice and shutting out the voice of other people's.
I agree. Yeah,
that's a good one.
It's like, I agree with that.
I was like, I don't think I have much to add to that. I think, yeah, I think that talk to your kids. Stop. Like, I think that a lot of people like feel like there's certain conversations that can't be had with children, but we have to start having conversations with our kids and asking them how they feel, what makes them happy. What if, you know, like, I just face the conversations, face the music, do all the things that didn't work for you. Really do that shit. Really change that shit. Because I think it becomes, you get comfortable, you know, repeating the patterns that you've experienced. You convince yourself that, oh yeah, well, you know what? This is normal. It's fine. They'll be fine. I turned out fine. And it's like, we want our kids to turn out fucking better than fine. We want them to be incredible humans. I mean, this world is going to shit. We need soldiers.
Fuck yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the platform of our podcast too, is very much like make your own rules with, you know, abiding by consent, of course, but for your lives. But I think it's probably a little easier as like single people or people without kids. And then when you have kids, I think a lot of people get in these roles, not even just moms, let's talk about parents in general. They get in these roles, like the mom role or the dad role. So I guess a question for you all is, what do you think if people feel, how can people be more authentic if they're feeling like they need to be kind of split? Like, okay, right now I'm mom and now I'm like the free single wild one who's dating couples, and which you're not doing. You're not doing the split, right? You're your whole self. But a lot of people do the split. So what is your advice for those people if they want to like be able to be more of themselves, or they have shame about expressing that part of themselves?
I think it's a process, right? Like, I don't think you're gonna, even us, like, we're talking a lot of shit on the internet about threesomes and like things that people normally wouldn't talk about, even to their closest friends. And we still get in our head. And I'm still like, fuck, did I say too much? Oh no, I'm never gonna be able to marry that senator if he comes along. You know, like, we still battle with things like that, but it's just like a slow process of not giving a fuck and claiming your own space and claiming who you are and getting comfortable in that. And like, that's daily work. It's not like one day you're gonna be like, fuck it, you know? And sometimes it's that simple. You have to make a choice, but it's a conscious choice every day to choose yourself. And like, I always tell people, because when the motherhood thing comes in about like integrating the motherhood and like the sex or all the other aspects of ourselves, it's just that, who would I be if my child only saw like 40% of me, you know? And obviously I'm an adult. I'm going to do adult things outside of her. And maybe when I drop her off on the weekends to her dad, it is time for me to get crazy because I only have until Monday at noon, but it's to me about, I want to be my full self, and to be my full happy self, I have to do some wild shits every other blue moon because that's just who the fuck I am. And if I don't go to Palm Springs with my best friend and, you know, take a Tesla by the pool, I maybe, you know, that's going to hold me off for 3 months. But it's just, my child is going to see the most authentic version of me and hopefully be empowered to be the most authentic version of herself. I saw my mom be a very small percentage of herself in her marriage for a very long time. And I think that hurt me more than anything. That hurt her, you know, not being herself. And so I really lean in on that, especially as a mom, because I think it's important that your child see you happy, whatever the fuck that means to you.
I also think that it's not so much about the separation and the double lives or whatever, but I think that like, you don't also have to share everything that you do with everyone because everyone is going to have an opinion, you know? And I don't know. I just feel like they're obviously, first, make sure you're being yourself and authentically yourself, you know, trying to, you know, it's like Jamila said, it's a process. But then also, even when you do that, for me, like, people, even when you're in the best space of your life and you've surrounded yourself with your people, right? People still have opinions. Even your people have opinions.
Even the people who know, you know? Who you are.
Everyone, because people are different and we're all like having this different experience. And so sometimes you just got to know when to look, who's your audience, you know?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I think that that's a good analogy. I love too when I read about kind of who you two are together. It's like Howard Stern and Oprah had a baby. I love that association because there's a lot of Howard Stern has this crassness that's like, hey, take it or leave it. This is me. And Oprah has this like this involvement and in wanting to heal and help and staying. I think the authenticity of like of being a human on Earth, no matter what your experiences are. And I think you two do embody that with your work. And well, let's talk about this quote because it's here and it's a badass one. Oh, thank you. So whether you like threesomes on the weekend or smoking weed, you should be able to do whatever the fuck you want as long as it's not negatively affecting your child and your spirit. That's a boss statement right there. Who came up with that one? Because that's like, fuck yeah. That's like, we should all live by that as a mantra.
Is that like a famous quote?
It's from you.
Oh,
from
did you. We say that? Wait, did
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Oh my God. You, that's hilarious.
Like,
you
oh my God. It's not
really,
that. It's
in wait. Your- Literally when it's she said that, bio. I was like, literally when she said that, I was like, wow, that's so smart. Like, yeah. I was like, oh did we say that?
Text us to me when you're done.
A lot of weed. You forgot you wrote that. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Where was that at?
I'm pretty sure it's in your bio. Yeah.
No wonder that big brand passed on us. even with me and like the weed thing, like it's a journey of like, and me understanding who I am and knowing that like who I am and showing up for my child, especially if I'm, you know, happy, is always going to positively affect her. And so that's what I realized, like weed is positively affecting my child in my situation. I realized that weed is not for everyone, that not everyone should be smoking weed. Not every parent should be smoking weed. I don't advocate for every parent on earth to be smoking weed. Know your limits, know what's right for you. But for me personally, it's great. I think the idea of the threesome and coming back home, you know, after I met the couple that kind of changed my life and perspective on relationships. I remember I had my housekeeper, my nanny, come over to watch my daughter because I was going on this date and I knew I was going to have a threesome with them. I was like, this is the plan. They have kids too. And so it was like, we had scheduled a date and my nanny came over and she, you know, watched my daughter. She looked, saw I was going out. She's like, oh, mamita, ¿dónde vas? And I'm like, I'm going on a date. And she's like, oh, she was like so happy. Cause she's like always wanted me to like get married and shit and have more kids. Like little did she know like what I was going to go fucking do. But I remember going and then like, you know, having my experience, had a great time and then coming back and having to like, you know, fix myself up and go in the car and like get to my house, letting her leave, you know, and then playing with my daughter. And I remember laying in bed, putting her to sleep. And I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like I just had a threesome like 3 hours ago, a free threesome date. And now I'm putting my kid to sleep and she's perfectly fucking happy. She's so happy. I'm here. We're reading a book and I'm going to kiss her goodnight and I'm going to go to sleep. And this is the life I want to live. Like, I can't believe this. Like I just felt so empowered in that moment. And I felt like, wow, if only so many women knew that like, this is, you're not a bad mom because you enjoy sex. Like you're not a bad mom because you enjoy weird sex or whatever the fuck you're into. You're not a bad mom if you smoke weed and you still show up for your kids, you know? It's just that idea of like all these taboo things making you bad. I mean, that's essentially why we named the podcast Good Moms, Bad Choices, is because the bad choices aren't bad. You, of course we've made some bad choices, right? We all have, but hopefully we're learning from those choices and becoming better people because of those choices. Like the bad is, I just feel like bad gets such like a negative connotation when really you can't be good without bad.
And really who's to say what's good and what's bad? You know, we learned from someone or something the world taught us, you know, that maybe going to have a threesome 3 o'clock was a bad idea or a bad thing as a parent or as a mom, but who's to say that? You make the rules. You dictate what's good or what's bad. And if your child is not affected and anyone around you is not affected and you're feeling great about it and it's bringing you pleasure, then why the fuck not? It's just about really reprogramming ourselves as women and as moms to choose what's actually good and what's bad for us.
Yeah, well, I think there's something really powerful also about modeling. And I'm not a parent of human children, okay? I'm a parent of a crazy fur child, so I can't say that I know this firsthand. But I personally believe that when you show your children that choosing yourself, not necessarily over them, like I'm abandoning you or anything, I'm not speaking to that, but that you're choosing, you know, your pleasure, your health, your joy, your own nourishment, you're showing them that they can do that for themselves too. Whereas if you model, all I do is choose other people that other than myself, you might be modeling that for them. They might do the same thing. So there's something really powerful in that. And also by choosing yourself and filling up your own cup, I would imagine, like you're saying, it carries over into showing up for your kids. Coming back from that threesome, I'm all like, wow, I feel great. How are you doing? Or like, you know, we went to a retreat recently and I got to go home after the retreat and snuggle my dog after. And oh my God, the snugs were the best because I was all juiced. I was like, not like a sexy retreat either. It was like a self-help retreat. And I was like petting my dog with more intention and care and giving more kisses than ever. And, you know, again, different because we're crazy dog parents over here, but I think that that's really valuable and hard for people to realize. And we do live in a society, I think it still is really very much like, especially for moms, take care of everyone else before yourself.
It's so much self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
So motherhood is all about this self-sacrifice. That's like this narrative that they've painted. And if you don't, you're a bad mom. Like it's just, it's crazy. It's so crazy, like the level of sacrifice that we're supposed to make without a thought for ourselves, you know? So I think that's kind of, and I still work through that too, you know? Like I am not in any way like a perfect example of a mother I'm right now, I'm entering a new stage in parenthood, and I feel so like ill-equipped, like, because I've never been here before, you know? So like, it's just constant like evolution and figuring this shit out. And I think that's why, you know, our tribe at Good Moms is so, you know, amazing and beautiful, is because like, we don't claim to be these perfect people. We're very imperfect. And so is everybody else.
Yeah. Perfectly imperfect is, I think, a tagline that we use often. I don't want to be
Brené Brown.
Perfect. Yeah. Brené Brown. And I don't, I pride myself on being different and thinking outside of the box. And I think you both do as well. And I know, so you all have, obviously your podcast. We talked about some other things, which I don't know if I'm allowed to say. So
you're allowed to say it.
Talk about it. Okay, good. You have a book coming out that you've been working on, as well as I know you have a retreat. I think it's in Costa Rica. Will you tell people how they can obviously listen to your podcast? They are part of our network, everybody. Hey. We're so happy that they're with
us. Pleasure podcast too.
Yeah. And yeah, how they can find you, listen to your podcast, and join your retreat, all of those things, please.
Yes. So we do have a book that's coming out next year. I don't know if we can say the name of it, but it's coming out. shout out to our publisher at HarperCollins, Anna. And then we have a retreat in Costa Rica. We are bringing 50 women to the jungle for two different sessions. So 25 women the first week, 25 women the next week. It's going to be January 31st through the 5th, and then January 31st through February 5th, and then February 6th through the 11th. And it's going to be pretty fucking beautiful. Our retreat is all about wellness and wildness and marrying the two. So yes, we're going to like get spiritual and shit, but we're also going to like fucking have a good time because we didn't travel all the way to the jungle to not have a fucking good time.
Not get a little wild.
Yeah, so you can check that out on our website. That's goodmomsbadchoices.com. Just click the retreat tab and you can get all that information. You can listen to us on all podcast platforms. We also have Patreon where we post a lot of bonus content. We have a segment on there called The Roll Up where we roll up our favorite weed and talk our shit. Sex Positions 101 where we reenact our favorite sex positions. And you guys can submit your favorite sex positions. I'd love to hear. I would love to know your guys' favorite sex positions.
The assassin.
What's that? Huh.
It's, I always say this because I think it's fucking
just
hilarious.
Like saying it.
But it's
I know,
like
the assassin.
You're laying on a bed straight and someone's eating your ass from behind, the assassin. Isn't it just funny? Because just like you're shooting a gun almost, but you're not shooting anything. You're just eating someone's ass. I wouldn't be the ass eater. I'd be the ass.
Getting your ass eaten?
Being eaten. That's the just what I like to say.
The licky.
What's your favorite weed? I want to hear that.
Oh. Strand of weed. I like Blue Dream. Generally, it's like a mild sativa, but I've been really on my hybrids lately and whatever my dad gives me.
Nice. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
I love Jack Herrera. I also love Blue Dream, too. I'm also lately really into gelato. It's pretty hot on the streets in California.
Yeah, it is. I hear all the rappers singing about gelato.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was a rapper in my past life, so.
You were? Oh, in your past. I'd like to hear some if you ever have some gelato raps.
No, I do have, we did an episode called Dear Diary where I read my poems in my diary and they're basically raps. So if you ever want to hear them.
We'll go listen to
those. You could have gold right there. You could be a ghostwriting for a rapper at this point. Maybe they're good. I'll have to listen to that. I saw that episode. So, well, you two are just so much fun. And you're also, as I said throughout this podcast, so empowering to not only mothers, but I think women in general. And thank you for sharing your gifts with the world. Such smart, beautiful women. I will pick up your book as soon as that comes out. No pressure to get that 1 through 6 chapter done. Okay. No, I'm just
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to visit you two again soon, hopefully if we're in LA. And thank you to all of our Shameless Sex listeners. I can't go an Shameless Sex episode without talking about wine. We're not drinking it right now, which I'm really bummed about. We're on a little detox, Amy and I both together, but it will be over. After next week, I'll be back on the wine. Woo. And go check out our favorite, which is Margins Wine. Just go to marginswine.com. It's a boutique. It's kind of boutique, like strains of weed. Like it doesn't have any weed in it, but it's very small batch. And every bottle is different. And she takes underrepresented varietals of grapes from different regions in California and makes beautiful wine. So very low sulfites and it's gorgeous. Just go to marginswine.com. It's only 3 releases a year. And the fall release is out now. So you could get a bottle. And if you want to use a code, we'll give it to you. It's also on our website if you don't remember. But Shameless Sex 10 gives you 10% off 3 or more bottles. Shameless Sex 15 gives you 15% off 6 or more bottles. Go check it out. Oh, that was a mouthful.
Good job. Nailed it.
In a good way.
I gotta try that one right now.
Yeah, try it. We'll bring some down when we come down to LA.
Please come hang out with us.
We would love to. And to all of our Shameless Sex listeners, thank you for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.